As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
DVR, what are your thoughts on Glenn Close?
I don't really have any thoughts on Glenn Close.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the greatest hour of your life. It's Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Football. Oh, man, here we go. The Take Athletic two. Fantasy Baseball Podcast. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Darren.
Someone's excited for football season.
Yeah, I think we were just talking about it. Anyway, your friend and mine, question mark? Ian Khan.
Oh, your friend and mine, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Johnny Editor, Ian Khan. We can't talk about it, though.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
I know you got some weird reason you don't want to talk about it.
Well, no, all right. So then I guess.
But just make sure you check out the tout table.
So on the tout table this week, which Todd Zola sends out, lovely Todd Zola, who I made a big trade with in, XFL, right, DVR? XFL?
Yeah, you got to say it the way Vince McMahon does it, though. Otherwise,
XFL.
It doesn't count.
Like that? Is that how he says it?
That's sort of how he says it.
So on the tout table, the week was, tell us about your trading theories. And I was like, I can't write all my trading theories in like three sentences. But I went and I looked, and Nando put down three things.
Ian is the only person who reads everyone else's response. It's a big Google shared doc, and I just go to the next open line and write what I say and get out. And I guess Ian is reading every response.
Well, I always will read your response. You're my partner and my friend. So I'm going to read your response. I'll read DVR's response. By the way, I'm just so happy I'm not in a league. DVR and I are in a number of leagues together, but we're not in any industry leagues together. And that makes me very happy. It's no fun competing against DVR in an industry league because I'm always rooting for DVR. And anyway, that's a little sidebar. So I read the tout table and Nando sort of says something to the effect of, well, yeah, you know, I like trading and it's fine. And like, I can always expect Fred Zinke's going to write me a paragraph and Scott Pianowski's going to do this. And I know not to get on the phone with Ian Khan and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you can't write that, dude. Stop telling people not to get on the phone with me. They should get on the phone.
But it's just such a weird thing.
But no.
You don't want to say it on the show, but all we do is joke on the show about how don't get on the phone with Ian Khan.
No, but you should, because that's how Todd Zola may have just won the trade, made a trade in XFL, which is a league that I do with Steve Gardner that we're in a full rebuild on. And Todd Zola may have just made a trade to win the league by getting on the phone. And then there was someone else this week who I made a trade with. Oh, it was Lenny Melnick. I was talking to Lenny Melnick about...
But I don't think anyone's actually going to listen to that advice.
About getting on the phone? Everyone should get on the phone. Everyone should be getting on the phone to make a trade. You want to know why? Because we're cosplaying that we're baseball general managers. Do you think that Brian Cashman sends somebody an email saying, hey, so I was thinking, no, he picks up the phone. Did you ever see Moneyball? He picks up the phone. They have a conversation. They go, all right, I'll give you this guy for this guy. That sounds good for you. Hey, that sounds good for me. All right, sounds good. Boom. It's super fun. And it saves you a lot of problems. Instead of sending like five offers over, you just hear and you listen and you figure out what the fit is. So anyway, that's
well,
my...
Well, so Ian bullied me into changing it.
I don't know. Bullied is the
so
word.
So I had to change it. So
I was just like...
So there you go.
They don't do that. So I guess, all right, I bullied you. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Messed up. Sorry about that, pal. Sorry.
Anyway,
about that.
So yeah, it was just a weird thing. Anyway, check out the tout table. We have to do it as members of Tout Wars.
Yes, we do. That's fine.
At least two a year. I've done my two. But I still do them anyway because I know what it's like having to herd people to do that, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's like
I feel I like Zola.
I like Zola too. He put out a trade thing at 11:21 on Sunday night. He emailed the league, and then I need a catcher. And I emailed him back. I said, hey, you want to hop a call? And then we hopped a call and made a giant trade. And then ended up making a giant trade, which will...
Thank God I didn't leave mine in, or else he wouldn't have
done the call. Yes, and then he would not win the league, because has a legitimate chance to win the league now, because he got Edwin Diaz, he got Taylor Ward, he got Jared Walsh. Walsh and Ward are keepable on good contracts, and he gave me Shane Baz and Jeremy Pena. And I gave him Eric Koss because he needed the catcher.
What are we doing with Shane Baz? He's close.
Steve Gardner.
He's not very close, but he's...
Shane Baz, it doesn't matter. We're not... This is the one league I'm... It's so much fun because I have
Different, where are you on Shane Baz?
All right. Very good.
Very in.
Well, he hasn't spoken yet. I feel bad.
Yeah. Shane Baz, right, very good. Very, very good. Big, big arm. Big superstar arm.
All right, great. Ian, sorry, you can continue now.
No, I'm good. But good trades happen. Trades are fun. Trades feel good. I made a trade with Cushing this week with Robert Mrshak, and I traded him in GDD. He traded us Luis Urias, and we traded him Garrett Whitlock. And it was fascinating. Trading with Alex Cushing is a fascinating experience because he's very firm in what he believes. And he's just like, no, this is the right trade. It's fair. And he made a great point, because we have Mikhail Franco as our third baseman. And he was like, in a 15-team league, he said, you're eventually going to stop wanting Mikhail Franco as your third baseman. And then you're going to be over a barrel. Right now, you're getting equal value Urias for Whitlock. And I was like, you know what? He's really right. You know, he's like, you're going to try to squeeze me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to squeeze you. You have too many corner infielders. He was like, don't squeeze me. And then Rob was like, we should squeeze him. And I was like, let's not squeeze him. Let's just make the trade. So we ended up making the trade. It was fair. Very fair.
Hold on. I'm looking for your response to the tout table. See what you wrote.
I didn't.
After all that, you didn't even write something?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, come on, man.
I saw the tout table and I was like, and then I read yours. And I texted you guys. I was like, no, dude, you can't write that. And then it turned into that little thing. And then I moved on to something else.
Oh, actually, I got to take back what I said. Sarah Sanchez reads the tout table.
Right.
Because she read Andy Barron's response. And then responded to him. And they tried to work out a trade, I guess, in the
made a trade. That's what Zola told me. Zola said
funny.
That they made a trade on the tout table.
Done. Send me the deal.
Right.
They did it.
That's awesome.
All right. So you and Sarah Sanchez read the tout table.
Everyone should read the tout table. Why not? And because
Joe,
you get
Sheehan's
the
in there.
Smartest, you have the smartest players in the game. Well, smartest industry players playing amongst many other really smart players, sharing their ideas about how they go about the game. It's cool.
Oh, she traded Bregman for Kershaw. She got rid of Kershaw. And then he hit the IL 24 hours later.
Oh, what do you do about that guy? DVR, I'm going to ask you, since you haven't spoken much, what do you do in that situation? Is it just tough crap, that's the deal? Or is there like a certain amount of time that you kind of say, oh man, an hour later, the guy goes on the IL? How would you handle that?
If it's a weekly league and we're trading on Thursday and it doesn't take effect until Monday, I'd probably reach out like during the negotiation and say, hey, let's assume that everybody involved, or at least the main players involved, are still healthy at the end of the weekend, and we'll proceed accordingly. But usually I just trade a lot closer to the actual time when the trade takes effect to avoid that scenario from happening.
Okay, but let's say you don't make that. Let's say you don't say that, right? Because I don't say that. You don't say that. I make a trade on a Tuesday. It doesn't go into effect until next Monday. And I trade Bregman and I get Kershaw on Wednesday. What should we do? What as commissioner, would you as commissioner step in, or does it need to be the largesse of the player who gives up the injured player?
I think it's on the person that gave up the injured player if anyone's going to reach out. I don't think this is a commissioner issue. I think both sides agreed to a trade knowing the rules of when it was going to take effect. So it's really just about whether or not you want to have that protection sort of built into the deal yourself. So I don't think there's any obligation to actually reverse it, but I try to avoid that situation because it's terrible. Like you don't want to trade someone an injured player. Obviously in this situation, no one knew that was going to happen. So it's just random. So I'm guessing they probably just left it alone and moved on.
It should be the largesse of the person who got the injured player.
Whoa.
To be like, you know what? Crap happens, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question.
Not the person who made the trade. It's the person who got and should be like, all right, man, it could have happened to you too. You know, Bregman could have gotten hurt on a bicycle.
Yeah, probably
riding
a bicycle.
To the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably not driving a bicycle to the stadium, but it's a charming thought.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Waving to people as he goes by.
And that's why he got hurt, because he was waving.
Somebody went,
it wasn't a crash.
Yeah. And then he ends up running into the center thing and tears an ACL. Terrible. Oh, last night I was playing, I was throwing tennis balls to my son in the front yard, and he hit a line drive that hit me right in the face, and he is hitting hard, and I just couldn't get my glove up in time because I pitch from pretty close because I can't control it from like 40, you know, from 60 feet or 50 feet. So I come in like 30 feet. I'm like, it's a tennis ball. Boom. Boom.
You got to buy a net.
Oh, I could do that, couldn't I?
Yeah, get the L screen going.
It just feels like I was literally like, if I'm going to go out there again with him and do that, I got to like get one of those helmets with like a face covering and wear a cup, like for real. Like that's always been a concern. But he hit a bomb this weekend. I have to mention it. He in his on Sunday, he played doubleheader Saturday, played doubleheader on Sunday. It's not, I didn't even go Sunday. My wife went Sunday, drove out to Connecticut an hour and a half away. And Chris Dolan, who's the father of Lennox, I talked about him on the show, the Tom Brady kid. So he was at the game, and I have a video of it. I can't believe I didn't send it to you guys. I should have sent it to you guys. And he hit apparently a majestic bomb home run that just kept rolling. It's pretty awesome. So he's the 13-year-old is having fun playing baseball.
That's great.
It's really fun. And I'm not coaching, so it's all good. Everything is working great, mostly.
Those two aren't necessarily related.
Well, no, it just changes my dynamic to as the coach or just as the dad who sits outside the fence and cheers them on, as opposed to the coach who's like, you know, talking to the 12 kids and teaching the 12 kids. It's just a much less intense experience by like 100%, 100% nice. Less intense.
Nice. Now you can be that annoying father who complains when he doesn't get enough playing time.
Nah, he's batting fourth, playing first base, pitched three innings, struck out eight batters. He's doing fine. They're
That's
happy.
Pretty good.
They're happy to have him. He's 5'11", and you know, he's kids growing.
While we're on that, I got a text from a friend. I don't know if I don't know if that was sent in confidence or if he wanted to be named. So we'll just say a friend. He requested that Ian read the most Ariel Cohen tweet ever, which came out last night.
I think I know what tweet that is.
Yeah, you probably saw it in your own, right?
I did see it. I think I know what
it is. It was a softball brag. It was a big-time softball brag that came out at 12:10 a.m.
Well,
overnight.
If you don't say who it was, I'm not doing it. If you can't
come
say,
on, just, no? I don't know. Can I?
I don't know. I mean, if this person is pushing this on people, then
it
think...
It was Phil Dussault.
If it was not Phil Dussault, that is
a
lie.
Yeah, he texted me.
Yeah,
he said, have you read this?
No.
He said, have you read this, please?
There's zero chance in heck that Phil Dussault would do that. I don't know. Let's keep. It's a little early to pull the Cohen out, don't you think? It's a little early, DVR.
I don't know. I mean, it flowed into what you were talking about. So
yeah.
All right, let's talk about my Tout Wars team. I just want to go over this really quickly because this is the worst luck I've ever had in any league. I'm just going to read my bench, and I don't know if anyone out there listening has fallen on similar hard luck. A month and a half into the season, not even a month and a half, like a month and a week into the season. This is my team. It's a 50-man roster. Draft and hold. So I can't make any moves to remedy this. I have two people I can work into my lineup now. Everyone, the only healthy people are in my lineup except for Elvis Andrews and Jonathan Daza.
Okay, so you actually have a full lineup still, even with all these guys hurt.
I have a full lineup. One more pitcher goes down and I'm screwed.
All right, but you have a full lineup for now, so that's good. This is a long list.
It's every player. It has a DL or an I next to them. Okay, Adalberto Mondesi in alphabetical order. Adalberto Mondesi, Adarlene Rodriguez, David Price, there's Elvis Andrews, Evan White, Gabriel Moreno, Hoi-Jun Park, Jack Flaherty, Jake Bowers, Jaron Duran, Jesus Luzardo, Joe Adell, Jose Barrero, Ken Giles, Luke Weaver, Matt Manning, Nick Madrigal, Nick Senzel, Rosendy Castillo, who's in the independent leagues now somehow, Ryan Mountcastle, Ryland Bannon, who's up for 2 days.
He's down. I was so sad for you.
Shed Long, Shogo Akiyama, Spencer Howard, Trevor May, Yermin Mercedes, and Jonathan Daza bringing up the rear. That is not a team that's going to finish in first, I think.
The only problem I have is this actually alphabetical? Because if it's by first name, is it alphabetical? Or does it have to be by last name and it's alphabetical?
Doesn't I just copied it off the site. So
I understand.
However, on Roto does it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, alphabetical, I think, has to be last name, you know, first name alphabetical needs to be, you need to add the extra. That's really
You're
bad
right.
luck.
TBR, cut that part out. I'll go back and let me sort by last name.
No, don't sort by last name. It's totally fine. Jesus Luzardo is a tough loss. It really is. And I mean,
Matt Manning's just taking his time.
Yeah.
Spencer Howard, not quite the pan out that I thought he would be at the moment.
At the moment. Where
Jose
is your
Barrero
how is your
time?
Mean Mercedes doing in AAA?
He's not. He's still coming back from the hamate. He's
oh.
got a broken hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's not good. Because actually that makes sense because otherwise
I think he, 6 to 8 weeks. I haven't even checked.
He might have come back up because they certainly have the availability, you know. They have room for a designated hitter, so he could come up and do your mean Mercedes stuff for a few weeks and then continue doing your mean Mercedes stuff, get sent back down and quit baseball.
How about that?
Yeah. That's tough.
So it was 2 days. It was 2 days. He was emotional.
What place are you in?
I think an eighth. I was in first. I was in third. I was holding kind of steady in third for a little bit, and then all this happened.
Yeah.
And that was that. That was that. So, you know, we're still in good shape. Jonah Heim utility.
I love me some Jonah Heim.
So, anyway, that's all. I just wanted to share that with everybody, that if you think you're having some bad luck, at least you can maybe do add drops in your league.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're not stuck with Jake Bowers in the minors with a big I next to his name.
Those 50, those are tough. I actually really do prefer the fab ones now because you can make changes. You can make your team better. You can constantly make your team better. It's not just about what you do on the draft day. It's my complaint with NFBC, which is only a partial complaint. It's just part of the game. It's still fun to do. It's great to have the practice of doing them, but maybe go a little less expensive on the 50 team, on the 50 man rosters. And, you know, because over the winter, to be able to do that in January or February is so much fun, but the gameplay is, it just feels like you're, you know, it's like dealing with a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries.
Jake Bowers hitting 164 for the Cincinnati AAA affiliate.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we expect.
The Louisville Bats.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. What did Legueza say about Christian Betancourt? Because I like Christian Betancourt. He just looks like a good baseball player.
Oh, dude, Legueza's got a... So he's got... We call it the six hitters you should be targeting in fantasy baseball right now. Under the radar, guys. Rostered in fewer than 55% of NFBC leagues. Betancourt, he pointed out, you know, in AAA since he came back from Korea, he slashed .280, .339, .480 with 16 homers, 4 steals, good for a .356 WOBA. And then mentioned that he's been playing a lot. He's been playing, I think, 5 of the last 7 games as of Monday night. 2 of those starts were at first base. So he's a catcher who's playing a little bit of first base. Yeah. He's got a barrel rate less than 5 points lower than a strikeout rate, which is a great combo for a backstop. He could be a top 15 catcher the rest of the way.
I picked him up in AL labor like a month ago, and then I had to drop him because of a roster crunch. I liked him. I mean, he just looks good. DVR, have you caught any view of Betancourt?
I don't understand why the A's are giving him the chance. He's playing better now than he was to start the season, so it at least seems more justifiable now than it did a month ago. The career track record in the big leagues was so bad that even with a couple of good weeks, I've been hesitant to believe it's more than just, you know, filling a second catcher spot with a lot of playing time. I think there's a chance that he gets DFA'd if he has another bad week or two. Like, I think he's that much on the bubble, even though he's getting a lot of playing time for what is a terrible Oakland team right now.
Yeah, really pretty. Owning Frankie Montas is very sad because he'll throw 6 innings, strike out 12 guys, give up 2 runs, and get the loss. It's just... That team doesn't hit very well. It's really tough.
Yeah, he's got 2 more months before he's somewhere else, right? 2 more months.
Maybe. I mean, I'll take the yes on Christian Betancourt as picking up as a second catcher. I'll take a yes on that. He even stole a base, right? Does he have a stolen base this season?
Yeah, he runs pretty well.
He's fast. He's big and tall and fast and strong. And I don't know. I kind of like him.
He was a prospect coming up. He was top 100 back in 2014.
I kind of like him.
All right.
Yeah.
He's but only the second catcher guy. In America. American League only second catcher?
Second catcher, AL only is a great choice. Great choice. No doubt. Great choice.
How about first catcher, AL only?
I mean, no, but no. Right. No, not for, but I mean, you know, probably top, I mean, Legeza says top 15 catcher rest of the way. So then, yes, if you go by, who are the other five guys? I'm curious to hear what they are.
Oh, the other five guys he picked?
Yeah.
Sure, let's give away everything behind the paywall. I'm just kidding. Frank Schwindel is his first baseman. He picked one at each position. So his first baseman was Frank Schwindel.
Okay.
Had some time-sorted advanced stats and his quality of contact.
He's doing all right. He's certainly doing better the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. I mean, he like broke it down hardcore in like barrel percentage, ex Wobacon, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Or is it ex Wo Bacon?
Okay. Who's the second?
His second baseman is Jace Peterson.
Yeah.
Likes the power speed combo. I'm surprised that two homers and two steals in the last week didn't garner more attention. Andrew Velazquez is his shortstop.
Mm-hmm. Stealing bases.
Likes the playing time, has a rolling Z contact percentage chart in there.
Fletcher's out for 3 months, so there's playing time available now.
Andy Ibañez is his third baseman.
Okay.
One of the line in here that he says is, what I do know is desperate times can call for desperate measures.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I actually sat him this week in AL labor because he's a reservable player, and I sat him. Because the playing time is pretty inconsistent. He had a couple of good weeks. You know, he's worth keeping, but he's AL only. He's fine. He's really fine. But I wanted to use Vidal Brujan. All right. Who else? Who's in the outfield?
And his outfielder is Cole Calhoun.
Yeah.
Who's currently blocking our guys.
Yeah, he is. But he's also currently hitting a lot of home runs. Hit another one last night as well. I mean, DVR, is Cole Calhoun worth anything?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's kind of just a typical 20 to 25 homer, big side platoon outfielder. He plays well in deeper weekly leagues, maybe on and off the roster in more shallow formats based on the schedule. But I think he's mostly the same decent version of Cole Calhoun we've seen for a few years.
Yeah, and my on Cole Calhoun was not for a 12-team league. It was not for a 10-team league, maybe not even for a 15-team league, but he is for an AL-only league. And it is under the radar, so... Cole Calhoun probably already rostered, but the guy on that same team that I threw at the bottom of the rundown is Eli White, man. Eli White is, I don't even know what to say. Like, he's got 10 stolen bases, 9 stolen bases, and like 6 of them in the last 2 weeks. He's leading off for that team. He's playing every day. I owned him last year a couple of times on and off the roster in AL labor. Never quite caught on. But looks like he's got playing time now, and playing time is everything.
Al put him in his lead for the waiver wire column this week.
Yeah.
Eli White.
Yeah.
I just remember him as the guy who was blocking Adolis Garcia last year.
Adolis Garcia Adolis is playing. He's playing.
Yeah.
He plays every single day, bats in the middle of that lineup, and he's actually hitting the ball right now. He's looking like it doesn't look like he's totally figured out by the book has not fully written on him yet, or because it looked bad there in August, September last year. But he's, you know, maybe gets tired. I don't know, because he's doing pretty well. Exciting player.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
DVR, you haven't spoken much at all this episode. Where do you want to go here? You have this whole rundown in front of you. In fact, in our shared rundown, I'm going to delete all those names because that takes up a lot of space. My Tout Wars bench. Diver, you pick.
All right, let's talk about Yusei Kikuchi.
Let's talk about someone else. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Take the wheel. No, we're going to Wisconsin. Let's go to New York.
Great story by Caitlin McGrath on Yusei Kikuchi.
All I know, the reason I threw Kikuchi in there is all of a sudden his last two starts against the Yankees, he pitched brilliantly and then got to the sixth and I think ended up giving up one run and got two other guys on, and then the relief guy came in and let them all in. Just the look on Kikuchi's face, just like, oh man, now I got three earned runs. I lost my win. And then he came back, I think it was last night or the night before, and like six innings, nine strikeouts or something. One walk, like his velocity's up. Like he looks like the Kikuchi for a minute. He kind of looks like the Kikuchi that we kind of thought we were getting when he was coming over. DVR, what do you think of Kikuchi?
I'm trying to figure out why the walk rate is so high and if it's going to stay there. Because if it does, the ratios we're getting right now are not going to hold. But the stuff is good. And you're right, the velo, that's one of those things. He's holding that velo at the 95 mile per hour level with the fastball. We saw that jump in the shortened season, and it hasn't faded, which is really encouraging. Still has a deep pitch mix. Got to like the arsenal. I think the problem I run into with Kikuchi is in that division, I keep finding reasons to sit him in more shallow mixed leagues, like in a 12-team league. He's one of the more difficult pitchers to have on your roster. Because it seems like half of his matchups, and even some of these that come up at home, you look at, you say, I just don't know. I mean, Yankees, of course, you're avoiding a lot of decent pitchers against the Yankees right now. And I think that's where Kikuchi, that's where he falls for me, kind of in that 50 to 75 range among starting pitchers. Most of those guys are in and out of your lineup. But it just feels like in the AL East, you end up with a few more of those questions than you do in some other divisions.
You just said something. And I don't know, you just said something that kind of blew my mind, that maybe I need to, maybe you didn't mean it this way, but I think this is interesting. Did you just say that when you're looking at the starters and deciding, this is obvious actually, why wouldn't you do this? But I don't do this. You look at who they're up against because, and say, if Kikuchi's going up against, let's say for the Yankees, Gerrit Cole, you don't want to start him. But if he's up against, let's say, Jameson Taillon, who's probably the least good pitcher right now for the Yankees, you'd be more apt to start him. Did you just say that?
No, I'm still looking. I'm looking more at just the team matchup. I'm not worried about those individual. If you had two very close pitchers and it was late in the season or even, well, it just depends on the importance of your league, I guess, and you're drilling into, you know, your fourth or fifth factor that might decide who you're going to go with. I think it is a consideration at some point. Win probability, it's part of that calculation.
Sure, yeah. The win probability question. The other thing, though, is when someone's up against a really good pitcher, I find they tend to pitch better. Do you notice that? Like, guys who are like, I'm facing Gerrit Cole, I got to give my best game of the season. Although Gerrit Cole has more run support than any Yankee this year, so I don't know if that quite holds. But it always kind of feels that way. It's like, you know you're going up against their ace, you got to pitch like an ace.
Interesting. I wonder if there's ever been a study about that.
Yeah. That's just psychologically something. Soft information. I should come up with a soft information. All right, DVR. Nando, he took us to Wisconsin.
DVR could put a nice bed underneath that if you want to make it a segment.
Soft information. I don't know if like I like that.
A little
that.
Violin, you know?
He really could. And he did that for my birthday video audio thing, which was really still awesome. But Nando, he just took us to Wisconsin. Where are we going next?
Well, I did want to talk about Mauricio Dubon and Kike Hernandez kind of in the same breath, I guess, because they're kind of, you know, I think they're two different levels, obviously, but Mauricio Dubon came over to Houston. Houston actually went and traded for him, and when he left the Giants, they had like really nice things to say about him. And it seemed like they were sending him to Houston to kind of as a step up in his career in a way. Houston's one of those weird Houston and the Dodgers, man. They have like these cracks once in a while, and it seems like they don't have the right depth in places where they keep getting exposed. Altuve goes down, and they make a trade for Mauricio Dubon a couple weeks later. Is he someone we should pay attention to? And is Kike Hernandez someone we should maybe consider jettisoning? He's not having a great... I'm not. But in shallower leagues, since we want to do some shallow league stuff, is Kike Hernandez a jettison in a shallow league? And is Mauricio Dubon someone maybe put on your watch list in a shallow league and grab at an AL only?
DVR?
Many questions. Yeah, DVR.
I don't think Mauricio Dubon has enough ceiling to be a shallow league player in the near future. I think it's interesting that two smart teams are the last two teams to have him. Giants moving him to Houston. He's basically the Nico Goodrum replacement from what I can tell. So What are we thinking that is for playing time? Is that four starts a week maybe at most weeks?
At most.
So I think it's more of a AL-only league, good glue guy, someone that can do a little bit of everything, sort of pick up. Kike, I'm always wrong about him. He's one of those hitters that I underestimate, I think, a lot. Maybe it's because he came through initially as more of a small side platoon bench guy and eventually got that chance to be pretty much an everyday player in a good lineup. Of course, he's let off quite a bit this year for Boston. It doesn't seem like the playing time is in immediate danger. The way they've used him so far, he has started all but three games this season through Tuesday night, and he's let off, more than half of them. So it comes down to Jaron Duran, doesn't it? And even with that, they could just play Jackie Bradley less.
Man, this Jaron Duran, I've got Jaron Duran in a couple places, and I'm just obviously in Tout Wars, as we heard earlier. I'm just waiting, man. What's going on? Just please bring him up and keep him up, right? What more can he do?
Can you guys answer a question for me that I don't know? Does the clock start on someone's service time the moment they come up? But then if they go down, does the clock stop or does it continue? Do you already know that?
That's a rate in barrels.
That's why
it's days on the roster.
Got it. So if it stays on the roster, I think that's what it is, because it's the same thing with Luis Garcia and Jeff Zimmerman. I'm going to give you a shout out. He sent me and he said he sends me this. He listened to last week's show and I was talking about Luis Garcia and he sent me a private message with Ben Stiller and Zoolander or whatever, doing the slashing the throat, don't mention Luis Garcia again till after Fab runs this week. Because I was talking about him and he was like, don't mention him. Because why is Luis Garcia not up? I think the reason Luis Garcia is not up is he was up for a while in 2021 and they're trying to adjust his time because there's no other reason why he wouldn't be up at this point. It's time for him to come up. So I think that because he was on the roster for a long time, they're going to keep him out. Commiserate. That's not the word. Is that their word?
Commiserate.
Nah, commensurate.
Commensurate. That's what I meant.
Commensurate.
Commiserate is I feel so bad for you. I'm sorry. Things have gone so wrong. But commiserate. Commiserate. I'm screwed. There you go. There's your opening. I think that's why they're keeping him down. For me, Mauricio Dubon is not even a play in AL only right now. Until someone really gets injured. I think they made it. Pena was injured, but he's back now, hit a home run last night. Altuve was out. I think you're right, it's the Nico Goodrum, but he's going to play twice a week. So no, there's no downside to not picking him up as you didn't in your AL-only league. And Kike Hernandez, man, doesn't hit home runs. He doesn't steal any bases. He's hitting 180. He plays good defense. He brings great energy to the field and to the team. So as a baseball player, he probably has more value than as a fantasy player. That's my feelings on Kike Hernandez. He's more bad than good.
He should be hitting home runs though, right?
I mean, should he? He's not that big of a dude.
I feel like he's kind of like a mini Marcus Semien.
Marcus Semien's not doing so good.
I mean, Mark, he's not going to hit 41 home runs, but
no, he
hit
20. I mean, you're right.
24
he hit 20,
or 25.
He hit 20 home runs last year with a .250 average. He does walk, 60 RBI, 84 runs. That is really valuable, again, in an AL-only league. But in a mixed league, 12-team is not to be rostered. Not even close. 15-team, please find somebody better, I think. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm not saying drop him, throw him on your bench and see if he turns around, because he does get hot. That's true. He does get hot. So he may have like a little hot streak, but it's not, he's just not a great place to be right now.
Wow, that's got to be one of the biggest hard hit rate drops of anybody this far into the season. He's at 25.9%. Last two seasons, Kike Hernandez just over 43%. So 25.9% is not as bad as Victor Robles, but it's down the street from Victor Robles.
Victor Robles with his first stolen base this week, baby. Yes, he did. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I know, DVR, you're the only guy who doesn't believe in Victor Robles at this point. It's sad.
I believe in Victor Robles as a $3 NL only throw. I mean, he's not a 15 team. He's not a 15 team player. You can't. Well, if you're starting him in a 15-team league, and there is one that I think I started him in this week with Brett Sayre, that's just not going well. That team is just chugging, struggling. But no, Victor Robles, not even playing every day. But
what if someone in a 15-team league offered you Leody Taveras for Victor Robles? And I think I want to ask this in Dynasty.
But you have to ask Dynasty. Nobody.
Do you?
Yeah, you have to, because nobody's stashing Leody Taveras right now.
They might be.
Okay. I'd rather have Leody Taveras.
I know one person who is.
Who? You're stashing Leody Taveras?
Yeah.
But it's a Dynasty league.
No, in a 15-team single season
really?
League. It's a team that needs offense, though. It's a team that a couple guys got hurt, so.
Okay.
I'm just waiting. I mean you can't ignore him forever, right? Like, at some point, they got to be like, all right, let's bring him up and figure this out here.
Maybe. I mean, the Rangers are interesting. They're growing nicely, and they're coming into Nate Lowe has been terrible, unfortunately, for him. And now they're platooning him. He's batting sometimes 7th, 8th in the lineup. Sure, why not? You know, throw it up against the wall. That's what a lot of these teams are doing. It's just like, all right, you're working. Like Emmanuel Rivera, is that what it is? Who, the Kansas City guy, third baseman for him, for Kansas City. Is it, what is his name? Hold on. I have an answer to this question.
You got it.
Which one is it? What is it?
That's Emmanuel Rivera.
Okay, Emmanuel Rivera, third baseman. He had a good weekend, and so he's going to get opportunity. And if he, you know, in AL-only league, Emmanuel Rivera might get some playing time. And might be a nice piece to have. And as Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin, Jose Miranda, is batting under 100 in like 60 at-bats, I just don't think that's going to last very long. I think he's going back down. So I'm trying to think ahead for another corner infielder opportunity. And Emmanuel Rivera was a pickup for me this week in AL Labor.
Would you drop Spencer Torkelson in a 12-team league? I mean, we're just talking about, got me thinking about rookies now. Miranda, Torkelson, 100%. Struggling.
Torkelson in a 12-team league is an absolute cut for me.
Does he need to be sent down for the turnaround? I mean, like, Bobby Witt's turning it around.
Yeah, Torkelson.
And they got a new hitting coach. Coaches.
Yeah. No, they got a new hitting coach in Kansas City, not in Detroit.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Bobby Witt's turning it around, and now they have another hitting coach.
Torkelson, a 12-team is a cut. 15-team is almost a cut. Almost cut him this week in a 15-team league. But traded for Luis Urias instead.
Imagine he starts figuring out like next week.
Yeah, I think he's got to go down. Derek, DVR, what do you think?
I don't know. Like, I think it's tough because his AAA numbers last year were good, especially when you consider age level. He was only 21 last season, but it was only 40 games. Is that enough to say that he's completely conquered that level when you get to the big leagues and strike out almost a third of the time? I'm inclined to say the Tigers should continue to be patient with Torkelson, but as fantasy GMs and redraft leagues especially, I'm with you on the 12-team drop.
Yeah,
I just think you have to move on. You have to get more from that spot, and you have to accept the possibility that you could cut him today, and 2 or 3 weeks from now, he could start hitting like Spencer Torkelson might hit for the next 10 years. You can either try to pick him up again, or you just accept the fact that you did something better for those 3 weeks. You had to make that move, right? You're not going to bat 1,000 on your drop decisions. Like, that has to be kind of baked into how's this likely to turn out. I mean, in a 12-team league, the rest of season projection for Torkelson right now from the Bat X is 233 with a 317 OVP, a 404 slug, 14 homers. 12-team league, that's like a 20 home run pace with a low average. And probably below average counting stats because the Tigers offense is still a work in progress. So in that case, I think it's pretty easy to convince yourself that, yeah, he could go off, but more likely than not, it's a year away still.
I'll take guys available in a 12-team league right now on the corner. Miguel Cabrera. I would take Miguel Cabrera right now over Torkelson. Jace Peterson's there. Colin Moran. Lamont Wade Jr. is available, though he's got a little knee issue. Mikel Franco available in a 12-team league. Daniel Vogelbach. You know, I mean, there are guys available that you might rather have. Garrett Cooper is available in 12-team leagues, and Garrett Cooper, I like an awful lot. He's playing every day. He still hasn't exploded out, but he's getting the opportunity, and if he can figure it out, it's a boomstick, baby. Boomstick, baby. Baby boomstick. Mike Ford. Dude, Mike Ford, your boy, Mike Ford is playing pretty much every day in Seattle and not doing much, but he's playing.
I like Mike Ford was one of our guys 2 years ago. With his Yankees call up?
Yeah, he was your guy. He was your guy.
He was. I wasn't like, you know.
No, he wasn't
screaming his name from the rooftops.
No,
he's in a good situation. And he's got good numbers. Yeah.
And he's
a lot.
So he went to what was it? The Dodgers? He went somewhere.
I think it was Giants. Mariners. Giants? Back to the Mariners.
Giants. Giants. Back to the Mariners. Right. They're like, take him back, and we're done. It's like you leave your dog with somebody for a few weeks, and you're like, please take your dog back. I'm not calling Mike Ford a dog. Mike Ford is playing every day. Steven Souza also.
I don't think anyone thought you were.
Steven Souza also playing every day maybe not every day, but playing a lot in right field for the Seattle Mariners with Kelenic going down. See, they sent Kelenic down. I'm all for that, man. Failure is bad. As my younger brother sent me a text, losing is a disease. Remember from The Natural?
Yes.
DVR, have you seen The Natural?
I've not.
Wow. And they let you host Rates and Barrels.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Dude, The Natural is really good. It's a baseball movie. Good, man. I mean, it's not like...
How did you not even like accidentally stumble upon that?
Well, you kind of... It's a little strange.
Like on TV. I mean, it's on TV.
Yeah, but he's younger than us, too. I mean, you're younger than me, but he's younger than you. That extra 6 years, it wasn't HBO for him. You know, it was on HBO all the time. Robert Redford playing a Babe Ruth type character, but who doesn't look like Babe Ruth? Who looks like Robert Redford? It's a really good movie. It's a really fun movie. A little weird at times, but it's like baseball in 1924. It's really cool. It's worth
TBS and stuff though.
Yeah, but again,
it was Gladiator and then The Natural. You know,
right? But if you've never seen The Natural, you can't just like hop in the middle of the movie. Like you have to watch from the beginning to the end. Glenn Close, a young Glenn Close, very good in that movie. Oh, that movie's good. That's a good movie.
DVR, what are your thoughts on Glenn Close?
I don't really have any thoughts on Glenn Close.
Okay, great. Do you know who she is?
Cruella De Vil.
Yes.
That's right. Was she?
Yeah, she played Cruella De Vil.
I'm sure she's had more prominent roles that grown-ups are fully aware of.
Sorry to call you a young whippersnapper there, DVR, but you're a bit of a whippersnapper. And that's how they talk in the movie. And there we go. And The Natural. It's really fun. It's a good movie.
Hey, tell you what. I'll take us on a side note just for a second.
Really?
And then we're going to get into...
The whole show is a side note.
The show's been great. There's a lot of advice in this show.
Oh, okay.
Adolin Rodriguez in May, 333 average, 1.165 OPS, 4 home runs, 9 on the year. But here's a side note. Everyone's crapping on this The Godfather show. The Offer, it's pretty good. We watched the first two episodes. I don't know if it gets worse after the first two, but I'm enjoying it.
I've got
the guy who plays Robert Evans is great.
How about the guy who played Francis Ford Coppola? His name is Dan Fogler.
He's awesome.
Great. Dan Fogler and I spent a lot of time together in the 90s. And I saw him and I said, "You're a freaking genius, dude." And I did everything I could to get my agent to sign him. And my agent was like, "I don't know what to do with him." I was like, "I'm telling you, he's a genius. He's going to be a huge star." And then he ended up doing a musical on Broadway, won the Tony Award for it, and then became a big movie star, and then kind of went back down to the minors. Like, he's like a Torkelson. And now he's back up, and he's Dan Fogler. I wish him nothing but the best.
The masses would know him as the dude from Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I think.
They would know him from that, for sure. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I know him from sitting in my
Balls of Fury.
I know him from sitting in my apartment in my studio apartment with him sitting on the floor showing me VCR tapes of all of his different characters that he's created. He had this one like Crazy Eddie like character, and it's this, and it was very, very, very funny.
DVR doesn't know who Crazy Eddie is either.
No, I guess he probably would not.
I guarantee he doesn't know.
No,
Crazy Eddie. His prices are. Go ahead, Nando.
I don't remember that.
Are you serious, Crazy Eddie? His prices are insane. No.
I just remember the person. I didn't really see too many of the commercials, actually. I just remember his his pop culture place.
I need to start hanging out with older guys.
He's crazy.
I need to start doing a show with older guys. Glenn Colton.
TV, how about Max Headroom?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we could do this all day. Let's save this.
All of right. all of those things, of all of those things, The Natural really is the best of all of them. Hey, Max will Headroom's you if you've two. Seen The Natural and you've just listened to the show, please tweet to DVR what you think of The Natural. Is that all right? And put Nando and I on the thread too, please.
Yeah, feel free.
Please do.
I don't
please.
Really need to be. I want to watch the movie. I'll take the time to watch it. So it doesn't
lying.
Require the push that you might think.
Okay, very good. You will
oh, really because it took Ian 3 years to get us to watch Midnight Run.
It's
to
true. DVR still hasn't watched it. He still hasn't watched The Godfather. But The Natural is an easier fit. The Natural is a baseball. It's a baseball movie. It really is baseball. It's really good. It's really good. I don't want to ruin a damn thing about it. It's just great.
What if we told you Wilford Brimley?
I was just going to say Wilford Brimley, man.
All right.
I was just going to say Wilford
Incredible.
Brimley is, that might be your opening. Wilford Brimley is the manager and he's got the mustache. And do you know who Wilford Brimley is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
What do you know Wilford Brimley from? I'm going to guess it's not Cocoon.
The Pepperidge
Medical
Farms.
Supply commercials.
Yeah, there you go. Diabetes.
And the Pepperidge Farms commercials. The Pepperidge Farm commercials. Wilford Brimley. Hot. I liked Wilford Brimley. He's great in this movie. He's got a big part. Who else is in this movie? Kim Basinger is in this.
Robert Duvall.
Yeah,
no nudity. Oh no nudity, though. Sorry, DVR. There's no nudity.
Robert Duvall. That's right. Robert Duvall plays the reporter. Ooh, he's tough, man. It's a tough movie. It's a great movie. It'll make you cry. I bet you.
Is he the artist? Is he a cartoonist or was he the reporter? He was the reporter.
The cartoonist was the reporter back in the day. Remember, he would draw a picture of him and. Oh, it's just a great, great morale. It's great. It's great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to hear about watching Gregory Soto pitch. Also, actually, let's get two closer notes from Ian Khan. One is pick up Clay Holmes, back page closer change.
Yes.
Number two is watching Gregory Soto pitch. Go.
Okay, so I always talk about the back page closer. I always like to get the back page, the guy who, if he's going to lose his job, is going to be in the back page of the Daily News or your local newspaper that's similar. Like, Aroldis Chapman loses the job. We are maybe tonight we're going to see that because last night Clay Holmes was warming up with a 5-3 lead. And then all of a sudden it was like Aaron Boone decided in the last moment, I don't want the story. I'm bringing Chapman in. And Chapman just is not as good as he used to be. He's just not as good as he used to be, unfortunately.
Where does that put him though? I mean, is not as good Chapman still like eighth or ninth overall?
No.
Or is he like 20th?
He's 20th. Bombed. 20th. All right. 20th. And Clay Holmes, if Clay Holmes gets that job, Clay Holmes turns, I think, I haven't seen him be the man, right? You haven't seen him be the guy yet. And that's a big thing, right? Because all of a sudden in the ninth inning, the breath gets a little tight and everything goes a little tired. And it's like, oh, you start to feel the pressure a little bit. But the stuff on Clay Holmes, I don't know what the stuff plus says about Clay Holmes, but just what I watch when I'm seeing him, you can't hit that stuff. You can't hit him. So I think Clay Holmes ends up with that job soon because they almost lost that game last night. I expected them to lose that game last night. So that's what I think.
You like Holmes. Holmes obviously over Loaisiga, right?
Yes, no question. Loaisiga really struggled this year. I mean, the numbers are bad. And he doesn't look right. Something looks wrong. Maybe it's emotional, actually. But it's not great. Chad Green does not have the intestinal fortitude, speaking of Vince McMahon, to hold that job. And I think Clay Holmes is like a monster. I think he's a monster. So I think he's going to get that job if he's still available. Even in a 12 team, I say you pick him up. If he's available in a 15 team, it's a no-brainer pickup. No-brainer. to me.
All right. How about Gregory Soto then? How does this work?
Gregory Soto, I believe we had numerous conversations this offseason about Gregory Soto, and is Gregory Soto worthy of being a top 10 closer pick? And I believe genius over here, that's me, and that's sarcastic, was like, Gregory Soto has the job. He said he has the job. He's got ridiculous stuff. And I remember my friend Derek Van Riper saying, you know, there's this command issue. He tends to walk people. You know about that? I'm like, ah, yeah, but is Soto, he's a man. Watching Gregory Soto pitch is bad for my blood pressure because you don't know what he's going to do. And then, so the other night, I have Michael Fulmer and Gregory Soto on AL Labor. Fulmer comes in with a 2-1 lead in the eighth. He hasn't pitched in like 6 days, right? And there was the other guy who came in for a minute and looked great. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll pick him up. Didn't pick up anybody in the main event this week. Just stuck with Soto. Fulmer comes in, gives up a run. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess there's a chance that I could get a win and a save if Gregory Soto, if they can score a run. The Tigers hit a home run with two outs to take a 3-2 lead. Soto comes in. So now we're looking at like a major thing. If Soto closes this game 3-2, you don't just get the save. You also get a win. This is a big deal. You know that feeling, right? When you've got the starter and the closer, and it's like, can the guy close it out? And you're going to take the big, you know, combo meal of win and save. And watching him pitch is just frightening. It's just, I can't, Rob Mershak, oh. I asked him, I said, did you watch? He's like, I can't watch him anymore. I can't watch him. And I watched, and he closed it out. But it's scary and painful.
He's not going to be the closer at the end of this season. It not with these skills. It's just not going to hold.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, and I'm just riding it out in two big spots. I've got him in two really big spots.
I think Will Vest might be their new closer.
Vest, we'll see. But then
Will Vest. Jua just wrote about him,
dude. Vest, yes, he did. I read that article. Great article. The problem with Vest is he came in last night and kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. So if you did pick up Vest, and I almost picked up Vest in a couple of spots, but decided, I picked him up in Devil's Rejects, where we're just, and then I have one more closer story if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, of course. This is helpful to people.
Jordan Romano. So I traded for him last week, beginning of last week. Traded Mountcastle and Mondesi. Mountcastle and Mondesi in an OBP league, both injured at the time. Although Mountcastle wasn't really injured, but he was struggling and there was a problem with the wrist. Ended up going in the DL to a team that's not in a competing mode. So we got two young bats. And in Devils, we're in first or second place. We're going for it in a 20-team league, and we only have one closer. So we traded those two guys for Jordan Romano and Eric Hosmer in an OBP league because Hosmer's been great and Romano's been great. Then Tuesday morning, Monday night, after lineups had locked, we get the notice that Jordan Romano has seen the trainers and is unavailable tonight. Now, Romano's velocity was down in his last relief outing. And I literally went, are you telling me that Romano's about to get TJ? Because that's what definitely felt like TJ. So what I do, I ran to the waiver wire. It's the only league you can do this in. And picked up Adam Simber. And then Mershak sends me a clip saying it could be Yimi Garcia too. So I went and picked up Yimi Garcia, and we only get four pickups in a week. And then late that night, it says he was sick with non-COVID illness.
Non-COVID illness, yeah. Right.
So I've blown. Well, I still like having Simber. It's kind of cool because he's pretty good. But that was fantasy baseball. It's like life. It's like you can't control it. It's just it's constantly moving and constantly changing. That's it. I'm done.
You got to love it. By the way, we got some breaking news. Willie Adames is on the IL with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, he looked hurt. Did you see that play, Derek?
Nope.
Ooh, really? He slid into home and he just started pounding the ground. It's never good.
Yeah, it's never good. Those collisions at the plate, even though they've made changes to the rules, it's still bad when catcher meets runner.
How about when Torkelson meets Mateo? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, poor Mateo, man.
Dude.
The dude, he's on fire, man. He's having such a good season. Then abrasions. What do they call abrasions?
He hits a little grounder down the first base line. Mateo and the ball are close to arriving. Torkelson picks up the ball and literally like just hip checks him into the boards. There's no boards. Mateo goes flying I mean, I was like, Torkelson's going to get one in the ribs for that. Like, that was an uncool play. I did not like that play at all. I mean, I obviously have some Mateo love, but it was kind of ugly. All right, what else we got?
Oh, I mean, well, I actually wanted to go back to the Milwaukee thing and see what DVR thought was going to be the scenario that plays out. Like, is this more playing time for Jace Peterson?
Yes.
Is this a Kessin Hero move? Like, what's it going to be? How's it going to look?
Arias at short, and then more Jace Peterson at third, probably platooning with Mike Brasso.
Boom.
Not Brousseau? We don't say Brousseau?
Well, we say Tout Wars, so it doesn't mean anything what we say.
Tout table.
Tout table.
Tout table.
I think that's right.
After all that, you didn't even put an answer into tout table.
It's true. It's true.
That's ridiculous, man. I'm going to put one in for you one of these weeks.
It got away. It got away from me.
I'm going to put in a ridiculous Ian Khan answer.
Please don't.
And see if anyone notices.
Please don't. Why? Because that stuff makes me sad.
You could do it for me. It's fine.
Miguel Andujar, you have this question. Hitting 303 with four home runs, two stolen bases. Why won't they just trade him? Why do you think, Nando?
I have no idea, man. Like, I know he was up for, like, when we went to that one Orioles game, I know he was up for, like, 2 days. And they're like, oh, will he play? We don't know. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, he was so good his rookie year, and then he hasn't done anything wrong. And the Yankees just keep stunting his growth as a player.
Derek?
I can't figure it out. I think it's more about the Yankees value depth than Duhar's had options. So when you have a guy with options that you like, you can do the Clint Frazier thing. I think he's just the new Frazier.
He's just, what do you need on the team, right? Like, what do you need? Your roster's already full. Your relief, the bullpen is enormously good. Michael King Clay Holmes, Green, Luasaga, and Chapman. You got five guys there that could conceivably close. You don't need a reliever. You're probably not going to get a frontline starter for him. It's the kind of trade. You know what would be a really good trade for him? Also, he doesn't have a position that he's good at, which is a problem. Why isn't Miguel Andujar being traded to the Oakland A's as part of a package for Frankie Montas? How about that?
I mean, it seems like we've come up with a billion trades for the A's to make for Frankie Montas. It's maybe they just don't want to trade him.
They're waiting for they're doing it right, actually. They're waiting for probably late July and saying, all right, now he's up. He's got another year or two, so it's not just, you're not just renting him for five starts in the playoffs. They can get a lot for him. They get a lot for him because teams that are in position that want to make the playoffs and do well in the playoffs, he's a difference maker. He will be your number two starter in the playoffs for whatever team you're on, pretty much. Not if he goes to the Mets, but any other team, pretty much.
I'd like to know what you were going to say about Tyone's facial expressions as we go into the home stretch here.
Tyone, good stuff.
Which way is this going to go?
It's going to go wrong. Tyone, watching Jameson Tyone, it's like watching Michael Kopech. It's just, you look at a guy who, watch him. If you ever watch him, he just looks like something's going to go wrong all the time. That's not the best way to play baseball. You've got to be calm. You've got to be relaxed. The calmer you are, the clearer you think. The calmer you are, the better you play. And if you watch him, he always looks like he's ready for the other shoe to drop. I just can't get around that. I can't get beyond that. And I think that his emotional energy on the mound hurts him. For sure hurts him. That's what I see. Derek, have you ever seen this? Or is this all just, Hungarian?
I've never noticed anything unusual about it. I mean, is it like an Eli Manning situation? Like,
yes.
I always thought Eli Manning looked kind of ridiculous with his facial expressions, but
yes,
his career turned out okay.
It did. It's a different sport.
No, yeah, I know. Is that not a position similar to pitcher where you'd want to be as emotionally in control as possible and confident at all times? Like, you need that.
Again, it's a different sport. So I don't know football the same way that I know baseball. I don't know how it would manifest. Clearly, for Eli Manning, he won two Super Bowls and beat Tom Brady in both of them. So, tip your hat to Eli Manning, great career. But all I know is that watching Jameson Tyone, give me an hour with Tyone. Well, I probably need more than an hour, to be honest. Give me like 3 hours over the course of 3 weeks with Tyone and Kopech, and I think they would be much better pitchers because they just have to think differently. It's just how
Kopech's having a kid right now. Doesn't that change?
Yeah, that changes things. Yeah. That changes things. But it could be, like Spencer Strider, I just want to talk about it. If you want to have a lot of fun, go watch his two innings that he pitched Monday night and watch him strike out guys and do a twirl. Actually, all you have to do is just put in Strider on Twitter and you'll see him. He does this little twirl at the end after he strikes the guy out. That you gotta, it's like as a communicator, I teach people how to work on camera. Like you can't touch your face if you're nervous. You can't, if you're not relaxed, you can't let your voice go. Like as we, the three of us talk, we bring variety to our tone, right? Can't do that if you're not relaxed. And you can't twirl on a mound after you strike a guy out if you're not relaxed and confident. And so, like, that's what I'm looking for. And stuff, of course. But Nestor Cortez is all about this. Nestor Cortez is doing this with deception and with moxie. I like pitchers with super... Give me super moxie, man. Give me the moxie. I want the moxie.
Like Aroldis Chapman.
No. Well, that's a different... That's something... I've never liked watching Chapman pitch. Not in the last 3 years.
No, come on.
No.
You know you and your brother bought his glove.
No, definitely not. I'm not a fan. I'm not. I just traded Aroldis Chapman to my brother right before the week because he had Clay Holmes. Otherwise, I would not have traded him Aroldis Chapman. But I was like, all right, you have Holmes, and I have four closers, and it's a 12-team league. I'll give you this.
Fair. Well, you got anything else you want to squeeze in?
Just a couple quick guys. Willie Castro's playing every day in Detroit. Willie Castro's playing every day in Detroit, starting left field, batting second every day. We've been talking about him for years. Maybe this is his time. He's hitting the ball. Danny Jimenez does look like the closer in Oakland. Not that they're going to win that many games. And, oh, I really want to ask you guys. We'll start with you, Nando, and then Derek, and then we can close. Nando, Hunter Green pitched 7 1/3 no-hit innings this past weekend against the Pirates. He was a big pickup for Rob and I in our main event this week. We put in a bid for George Kirby that was higher, but I was more excited and interested in Hunter Green because it'll give us strikeouts. Not that Kirby won't. We got him for $101, I think, with a second bid of $55. He was mostly owned in other main events, but he was available in ours. Do you think that it's for real, or do you think it's just a blow-up waiting to happen?
No, I think he's for real, man. I mean, his problem's been a lot of home runs, and I'm sure pitching in Cincinnati, and I'm also sure, obviously athletes are very professional, but the way they're going, like, how do you get fired up for that? You know, like, how do you get so, like, hype? But I think he's legit, man. The minor league numbers point to it. His prospect status that he had. I like Hunter Green a lot. And maybe I'm just saying it because I have him in a lot of places, but I do think maybe that's the confidence boost that he needs to be like, all right, I'm not a 7-something ERA pitcher. You know, I can do this.
I like that. I like that a lot. Derek?
Tough schedule so far for the Reds. I may have said that on the show a week or two ago. He started at Atlanta, at the Dodgers, home against the Cardinals, at Coors, at Milwaukee. Milwaukee again back in Cincinnati at home for his second home start, and then at Pittsburgh being an easy start finally. I think he's been as challenged as any young pitcher has been through 7 outings so far this year. The ratio should get better. I'm just concerned that if it's not homers, it's walks. It's always one of those things, even when he was great against the Pirates in that last outing. Five that day.
That's a lot of walks.
Even when he pitched well against the Brewers the start before that, he walked 4 guys. So I think you're probably talking, like, for a best case scenario for ratios, low 4s with kind of a bad whip, lots of Ks. It fits on some teams. I think in the NL Central, there's going to be some easier spots. It's the opposite of the AL East, right? You tend to talk yourself into playing guys with some of those matchups, maybe when you shouldn't because of which home park he happens to pitch in. But the future's still really bright. I just think he's going to be like another Kikuchi type where it's surprisingly difficult to use him more because of skills than because of matchups. And those matchups might steer you to take more skills risk on than you probably want to.
Damn, you're good.
How about that?
Come on.
Yeah, that's spoken like a true Brewers fan.
Whatever that means.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Ian, you got anything else? It looks like we're at the bottom there.
I think we're done. I think we put in a solid hour. I sent you guys a video of my son and the hit. I texted it to you guys if you want to watch, and you can note him going around the bases because he's pretty freaking fast.
I try not to look at my phone too much during the show.
It's fair. But I think it was after I was talking about it. I was like, I'm going to send it to you guys now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
no alarm going off today either.
So no, so I shut off.
We're on a roll.
Everything.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, everybody. We hope this is helpful. Make sure you hit us up and see if you can figure out more people that Derek Van Riper doesn't know, even though it seems like he should.
The Natural. He's going to watch The Natural this week.
He's going to be doing a lot of Googling of Kim Basinger, I think. For the man who actually hasn't vetoed any of his replacement hosts yet, Derek Van Riper.
I mean, it's not really up to me as long as you guys don't ruin the show while I'm gone.
We're going to get weird, man. For the man who, after the show, is going to text DVR and ask him to edit out all the tout table talk, Ian Khan.
It's not true. You could please keep it in the show.
We got to go. We love you all. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.
Good talk. Good talk. Bye.